Well, as we know, today we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. I want to take your minds back to Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, as we prepare our hearts for the communion this day. The Lord's death, he died on our behalf, and so this is what we want to look at and see, how Christ himself has it where what we would do as we come to the communion today. And I want to just bring some points to us, some thoughts from the two verses in the third chapter of Colossians, just to help us to think back. I preached on this. You know where your hearts are as far as this and what God has given to you on it. But I want to make it where you and I can think of it even afresh this morning as we come to the table and thinking of Christ Jesus who has died for us. I have two simple points this morning. I'll read to you, first of all, the first few verses in Colossians chapter 3. Follow along, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ Jesus and in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, as we look at two verses, and that's in verses 2 and 3, I want to look at briefly this morning. There's two things I want to bring to mind. First of all, we must remember something. This is what the apostle is telling us here, but this is what Jesus is telling us to do when we have the Lord's Supper. He says, do this in remembrance of me. The second thing we want to look at is that we should rejoice. As we come to the Lord's table, taking the elements which represents the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be a rejoicing people. But Paul helps us in these two verses to even come to a place where we can truly set our mind on Christ and where we can truly can rejoice. First of all, notice in verse 2 of this chapter, and what we must remember. Paul sets it for us. He says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Paul tells us here that there's something that you and I must do and how we must live as Christians. Remember, he's already come through the book of Colossians and he told the brethren how they are, what they knew about Christ because of salvation that was brought to them. But now he's telling them what they need to do. From the third chapter and the fourth chapter of Colossians, he's given them all kinds of direction and how they must live, what they must do and turn away from, and how they must understand the word of God. So he begins, first of all, when he says, and I want in my verse here, set your mind on the things above. Set your mind. As we looked at this, we understood what he was saying. This word mind is a word that covers the activity of the will. Now we think of mind, we think of a brain up there and that's it, but it's more than that. Mind in this word here means the affections and the conscience, everything that is about us, everything that is in the mode of thinking as a human being, he says that all should be on things above. The word covers all the activity that we are to do. Here it is an idea of being devoted to something. You know there's times in past when people would do that, or you know yourself, maybe sometimes in your life, where you've been so devoted to a thing, and you do that. And you put all your thoughts and everything is on that, and on that completely. Young people, when they grow up and they go and they want to find some kind of a field that they're going to go into, what are you going to do? What job will they take? They set their minds on all preparation for that future job that they're going to have. And those who find themselves accomplishing what they want to do is because they do not allow anything to turn the course on them. We know about these guys go to school, you know, actually gals also for that matter, and they go in and they start at the lowest grades and they get it to high school, but they're so busy fooling around and playing and doing everything else, they don't get the studies done. And they wonder why they didn't graduate. Well, because their mind were on other things. So we know that from life and what it is. You and I can look back at our lives and see where along the path we set our minds on the things. All our affections, all our attention, and everything was devoted to something. Paul is saying here, set your mind on it. He says it should be devoted. In Romans 8 and 5, Paul says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And even in Philippians chapter 3, who set their minds on earthly things, Paul can say they did not progress because their minds were in another place. The thoughts of the Christian should be occupied with the things where Christ is, where Christ now dwells in all his glory, and what will be the Christian's final home. We're setting our minds on there because that's where we're going to be one day. Think about it. Those things, contemplate on it is what he's saying. Let your life be set on that, where this is the one thing that you have in life. That is not the only thing you're thinking about, but it is the main thing. Set your mind. We learned that the church was told to be occupied with Christ and where he is right now. Not where he had some sort of a dreamy idea about Christ, but where he is right now. He's in the heaven. That's why Paul could say, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. The phrase speaks of the activity of the will. And as I indicated, in the affection, it is not just a passing thought. It means to complicate. The Lord gave his church the communion so that we will keep our minds upon him and his finished work. Jesus Christ himself, when he was sitting with his apostles, he told them and he explained to them what was being done. In our text, Paul is speaking to the church in Colossae and also to us today. Dear people, this is God's living word. We don't read it as it came to a church of old and say, wow, that's what Paul told the church. No, the Holy Spirit, God, is telling us the same thing right now. Amen. So we don't look at this and say, wow, that's some nice stuff he told to the Colossian believers there. No, he's telling Grace Reformed Baptist Church, set your mind on the things above. We must come to the Lord's table. Think of his death and resurrection and of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only about his person, but also what he did for us and what he did in us. I was glad that Pastor Randy chose to preach, to read from the book of Mark. I had nothing on my mind, but as he was reading through it, he just brought Jesus Christ up again to us. Seeing him in his walk and as he came into the world and what he was doing, telling them demons, get out of him. He had all control. It's not just a story that we read. It is the reality of our risen Lord and who he was when he walked on the face of the earth. He's saying these are the things that we see and understand, and this is what we ought to look at and understand. But remember what Paul says, set your mind on the things above. The brethren there were urged to ponder and yearn for the things above. You know, as I said in my little illustration about those who set their minds on things of this life, here, the things above, the things that you want, the things that you heard were coming to you, as far as the scriptures are concerned, and you're looking for those things. But it's only when we find ourselves yearning for us do we have a real urge and a real desire to see those things come to pass, even in our own lives. The Colossians were a church that truly understood their lost state before salvation, and now they understand what had taken place with them, the difference the gospel had made in their lives. In verse 1, chapter 1 rather, in verse 4 and 5, the apostle could say, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, Paul spoke about the fruit that has come from these brethren, verse 6, which has come to you. just as in all the world, as it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God. Paul could say the church was growing. Much had taken place. And Paul is really saying their hearts and minds were not upon the earth, it was on heaven. But Paul here gives them this direction when he comes to chapter 3. All that we see and all that they had were the blessings that are produced by the hearts that are turned to God and humbly seeking Him. Some Christians have a hard time walking with God in this life because they have their hearts so tangled up in other things. Other things become more important to them than their spiritual walk with God. And they wonder why they are not as full of love and joy as they ought to be, but because their minds have been now broken. They've gone to and fro, the world, myself, things for me, and then come back again to Christ and who He is. That is not the way, Paul says, we're going to find ourselves growing. Grace is what we need, and that grace is what is guided to us and given to us by God as we set our mind upon Him. But Paul says in the latter part of this verse, not on the things that are on earth. He tells us, you got to make a decision, dear people. And he's telling them at that time now, he comes to the very point of his letter now where he's telling them, now this is what you're going to have to do. Take your mind off the things of the earth and set them on things above. This means to give preference to spiritual truths and doctrines. It does not mean that they were expected not to think about the things of the world or the physical needs of life, but that their main thoughts must be upon the realities of the Christian life. Who are we now? Are we the same that we were before we got saved? No, you're not. And I hope we all realize that. Not on the things of the world, he's saying. Not on the things that are on the earth. Houses, lands, wealth, honor, pleasure, enjoyment. These do not become the main objects of the hearts which are now heaven bound. To make the things of the world the goal of life and the main subject of thought is unworthy of one who has been raised up with Christ and waiting to share His eternal glory. Being pulled back and forth. I love Christ today, but I love more the life in the world today and what I am and who I am and what I've accomplished in the world. That's pulling back and forth, and we don't know one day from the next. Who are we right now? Paul is saying, not on the things of the earth. The Christian is not to despise the comforts that God gives us in life. We know that. We thank Him for every one of them. He says He's going to take care of us. He will provide us food and everything and shelter and everything we need. So He's not telling us despise these comforts of God, but He's saying we must not be tied to them. Some people are so tied to the life they have and the things that they have that they're not sure they can give them up to give all to Christ. Paul says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this world. The Word of God, dear people, telling us to put all our focus of life for this life on the things of heaven where Christ is. Right now in this life, we put all our focus on Jesus Christ and the things above. And not to be carried away by the things of the earth. In other words, our main focus must be about heaven where Jesus Christ and God is. Now that's what Paul is saying, isn't he? Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Set all your concentration and everything, it should be on Christ. The Lord's Supper was given to His disciples while He was still on earth. In Matthew 26 and 26, He says, take, eat, this is My body. Meaning, this represents My body. It's going to be broken. Just as I broke the bread and give it to you, that's what's going to happen to my body. In Matthew 20, in verse 28, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sin. Do you think he only wanted them to think about him during the communion that night only? Do you think that that would be the only time he would have communion, was that night they sat down with Jesus and Jesus had this wonderful supper here? But no, we see it became something that was done all along by the church. We know that is not truth. It wasn't just that night. He wanted them to think of him every time they would have the communion. He wanted them to think of him. Think of where he is, that he lives now in heaven, the victorious Lord who was resurrected from the dead and now raised up into heaven. Paul makes it very clear that the Lord's Supper makes a bold statement about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 and 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You see what he's saying? You are proclaiming something. You are posting something. You are shouting it from the highest mountains. Jesus Christ lives, and he's going to return. You see, when we come to the table and we look at the Lord's Supper, we're not saying he died for us and that was it. No, we're saying we know he died, and that body which now is represented by the elements, mean it was put to death for us, and he is right now in heaven waiting for us. You proclaim that he died on the cross. And he rose from the grave, and he is coming back again. This is what the very text was pointing to us, and this is what is said. So Jesus says here, Paul, set your minds on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. But he goes on. He says in verse 3, here's something that we should rejoice about. We should rejoice, dear people. Not just read this and go about it and as if there's nothing to it. It's just theology here. It has no real contact with me. It hasn't really imparted anything to me, but I read it as theology. Look at it. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What a powerful statement. For you have died. The truth of this verse should bring joy to our hearts. Paul is saying to the Colossian brother, you died. Do you think about that? You think about who you were before you were saved? And that person do not live anymore as that person. Yes, the same body is here. The same voice, the same concerns in some case, but you are a brand new person. And Paul says, you died. As stated in 2 of this second chapter, this verse in 11 and 12, turn back to just flip a page over and notice how the apostle states it there. He says in verse 11, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So Paul is saying something happened in your conversion. What happened is that the person who was there, who you were beforehand, has now been completely changed. You're somebody else. And Paul used these words, for you have died. In other words, he's saying that person, that pre-sanctified, that pre-grace person does no longer live. Have you ever looked at your conversion in that way? They were buried He's no longer just them living out their lives, but that Christ lives in them. The same thing here now. Not only did you change in the sense that you have became now, and as much as you can try to put that up in your head, spiritually minded, connected to God. But think about this. Your life is also in with Christ. You're connected together. You're not just a religious person moving through life and trying to keep the tenets of what the religion says and trying to act each day as you are a Christian and whatever. You are a different person. It is no longer just them living, but Christ lives in them. They are dead to the old self and to the world and under the control of sin. They are dead to it, dear people. Their life is now bound up in their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They have been grafted into Christ by the Spirit. This is what John says in chapter 3 and 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What words? Born of the water and the Spirit. God is saying there, Christ is saying there, something has to take place that changes the whole person. Paul says it in 6:5. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And I don't believe Paul is just pointing to when we come forth, but when he was resurrected, who he is as the Spirit he is in everything, we will be in that likeness. And Paul is saying that is the case right now. Their new life is hidden in Jesus Christ. Notice how Paul describes this new life. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who lives. Wow. I have been crucified with Christ. Paul actually indicates that he shared in the very crucifixion of Christ, because he knows when Christ died on the cross, all his people died with him. There, and that's death from the old man to the new man. Now that's going to see itself come out in the process of time as he called each one to himself. But Paul could say, I have been crucified with Christ. Now this was years after Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. But he says this, and it is no longer I who live. Me, the apostle, me, the one who is a Pharisee of Pharisee, me who served myself in the Jewish faith for that matter. No, that person is gone. No longer I who live. And he says, but Christ lives in me. It is Christ in me. It is Christ the one. And he could say, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Christ, Paul is saying, is in me, and he's directed me. He given me and he told me everything I need to do. He is actually the one who's forming my life. He's the one who's given me the biblical thoughts and understanding. He, by the Spirit of God helping me, is the very one who's causing me to, as it were, progress from grace to grace. Oh, the Colossian Christians, Paul is saying, their new life is hidden in Christ, meaning it is concealed from the world. That's why people look at us and they don't understand us. It's concealed from the world. They can't see it. They don't know anything about it. And Paul says that concealment is actually, as you see it in this way, 1 Corinthians 2:14, he says, but the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. My family was here for Christmas. It was a joy to see him. He has some grandchildren, but they don't want to hear nothing about Christ. This is foolishness to them. And And we understand, and we ought to understand, you need new spiritual life to be able to understand it. They think we have just chosen some religion, somebody who they believe don't even exist. They don't even believe God exists. So this is all foolishness to them. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. Be patient with your unconverted loved ones. They can't understand what we live, who we are. The change has been made in us. They can't understand. They're still dead in their sins, dead to the truth of God. Know nothing. And Paul says in that verse, because what we have, because they are spiritually appraised. The only way some can understand is they have to be guided by the Holy Spirit, meaning saved and in Christ Jesus. Paul makes this clear in 2:20, Colossians 2:20. If you have been with Christ to the elements, have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees? Now, Paul was speaking there for all these different religions that he looked at, and he said they just don't hit the mark. They're way off. Then he says, well, why are you trying to follow these things if you have died to the things of the world? Every religion that man puts out is nothing. It's going to do anything for the soul. Life will not come to us through following Buddha and anybody else and Confucius and all that. And even some of the so-called Christian denominations now, too. They raise up a Christ who is not the Christ of the Bible. Paul says, we are setting our minds on things above. He says, because you have died and your life is hidden with Christ Jesus. This life that we have right now, who we are, he says is hidden with Christ Jesus. It's out of this very realm. People can't see it. People don't understand it. All they think that we are, we got this Christian talk and all like that, but they see nothing. The only thing they can see and understand is what's reality before them. They can't see the spiritual. The world will never see the relationship between the believers and the Lord Jesus Christ. A true believer is defined by his new life in Jesus Christ. And this is Paul is saying. And like I said, we ought to rejoice for that. If we see we are different and God has helped us to put away some of the sins, yeah, we're not perfect yet. We know that. But we see this, we are not the same. And we have a desire for Christ. We want to be with him. We have ourselves. We come in and pray for him. And though we hit and miss at times, we know we are not the same. Truly, that person who I was is dead. Oh, I thank God for that. For me, at least. I hope you can do the same. I know what kind of person I was before the Lord saved me. And I have said it time and time again. If he hadn't saved me, I wouldn't be alive. Because I was on a road that was going to do nothing but lead to death. Truly, true believer is defined by his life in Jesus Christ. Who he is as once known by the world is not the true person in his new spiritual life today. That's not the same. He's hidden in Christ. You, dear believer, you're hidden in Christ and in God. And so this is what I want you to think of. Rejoice in this when you come. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ Jesus. And Paul reminds us, we died when he died. We come and we take the Lord's Supper, which actually celebrates his death. What do we look at? Do we look at something that happened in the past there? We look at it in the scriptures and see long ago, Christ went to the cross? Or are we looking at something and we see something right now? Not only does he tell us to take this, that Christ died, but we died when he died. to this world. As our main purpose of life, we died in the death of Christ. Therefore, when we take the Lord's Supper, we are receiving the bread and the cup as symbols of the body and the blood of the Lord. And we must also remember that our lives are hidden in Christ and in God, meaning who we really are, not the same people before the Lord saved us, new in Christ Jesus. We must ask ourselves the following question, dear people, as we prepare and come to the Lord's table. Has the gospel made a difference in my life? We must really ask ourselves that, because there's a lot of people who are going, marching along with the church. But Jesus says, when it comes to the end, he's going to say, depart from me, I don't even know you. So you and I today, we must ask ourselves these questions. Has the gospel made a difference in my life? And we have to be serious about that. Because if we're not, we are only fooling ourselves. And if we don't ask these questions, we're going to go on as if everything is all right. But oh, when the end comes, what a sorrowful time that it'd be if we're not, if our lives have not been changed. Has the gospel made a difference in my life? Also, am I a changed person? Now, there's some changes a person, people can make upon themselves, but, you know, pretty good, you know. I mean, a man can be bad for a while and he come to his senses and say, you know what, I'm not going to do that stuff anymore. He can make a change. But we're talking about the changes that come with a spiritual change. A change that comes where there's a desire for spiritual things. A change that comes where you make you and I want to do more for Christ Jesus and give ourselves for more. And seeing what we can do in order to truly live for the glory of Christ. Another question, did the old me die? And my life is now in Jesus Christ. Can we say that? We answer that question. Can we say, the old me died? I am not the person who I was before. And my life is now in Jesus Christ. And dear people, this is what we ought to see and understand. You see, when we come to take the Lord's table, we're coming now. We ought to see and understand that we are not doing something that was done in the past. We are doing it afresh right now. Christ is in heaven. We are in heaven with him. And as we now take the Lord's Supper, I think the beautiful picture is we are seated around Christ, even in spiritual in heaven, taking this Lord's Supper and saying, as we look at his body, it was broken for us. Look at the blood. It was poured out. Life was given for us. And here we are. Paul tells us we are in Christ now. So in a sense, we have to think past the table and think above. As I'm doing this, I'm even connected to Christ. And he's looking at me. And he knows my heart at this particular time. What I'm thinking of and what I'm doing, he's there with me. And so, brethren, this is not something given to the church. Oh, you do this, you know, when you feel like you want to do it. No, it's more than that. It is actually proclaiming. This is what Paul says, proclaiming that he died. Proclaiming that he's coming again. And I think even individually proclaiming that he died for me. And I'm in him. Yes. And I will not let him go. Not because I have a stiff upper lip and I'm going to do it, but because I can't, because God has sealed me to his son by his own power. That old man is dead, new man is here, and Lord, I come and commune with you at the table. May God bless us, people. Let us come and take the elements of our Lord Jesus Christ and set our mind on things above. Let us pray. our blessed God in heaven, you know us. You know our whole makeup. You know our what we wrestle with even in this bodies. The flesh tries to take hold of the spirit, and the spirit has to put it down. And Lord, you know those battles we would have. But we pray to you, O God, right now, that you would give us power. Give us the strength that we need in our converted souls to fight away the flesh at this time. And even have ourselves, and by your truth, lifted up. And even there in heaven, as we take this Lord's Supper, knowing that we now, not that Christ did it in the past, but he is even here with us as we do it again right now. Even as those disciples did it then, we are doing it with him again right now. So bless us, O Lord God, and ready each of our minds to come forth to Christ and take the elements that he has before us, that we would take it, even signifying his death and also knowing his resurrection. And he is and brought us to newness of life even in him. Bless us and hear us. In Jesus' name we pray.